Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Amazing Grace. Well, today we move into the main body of the third epistle of John. And why do I put it that way? Well, because there is some difference of opinion as to whether we should consider the body, the main body of the epistle, to begin at verse 3 or to begin at verse 5. And today we are ready to move into verse 5, having already covered verses 3 and 4, which may be part of the introduction or may be part of the main body. You know, sometimes writers don't write with analysts in mind. They just write as they are moved to write. In the case of biblical authors, they are moved both by their own thoughts, their own knowledge, but all of it guided and guarded and delivered perfectly by the superintending process of the Holy Spirit of God. So the things that are written are not always neatly packaged for outlining and for public teaching in a particular systematic way. And as helpful as that is, and I'm very much a systematizer, but as helpful as that is, that's not really the main purpose for writing these books, and that's not necessarily the only way to teach these books. Sometimes you just have to go with the flow. So I'm not sure what we are entering into now, main body or the second part of the main body. And that's why I have called it the main body. And that's where we are headed on this Thursday, July 4, 2019. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for supporting us with your financial gifts. I should also make note of the date, July 4, the day that we celebrate independence, and in many ways the birth date of our country, the United States of America, in its present form. A lot of different dates we could use for the beginning, but this one is probably the most prominent, the one that people think of the most often. And there are a couple of things that I feel like I would like to say regarding that. Number one, I'm very concerned for our nation. And it is apparent that we have drifted far, far, far from where we were in the beginning, at that first declaration of independence. We fought a war that only could have been won by the superintending favor of Almighty God, truly, if you will study the military aspects of what took place there. You really will understand that that was only won by the hand of God helping us. We should have been defeated handily. We should have been defeated decisively by the greatest army on the face of the earth at that time. Great Britain had risen to become the greatest nation, the greatest empire in the world. But by the design and the goodness of God, we won. And in those days, nearly everybody in government, as well as the general population, attributed our victory to Almighty God. And even public leaders, who at that time themselves were probably, in many cases, not born-again believers, though no question that a good many of them were, but even those who weren't had a a reverential respect for the Bible and for the God of the Bible and for the Lord Jesus Christ in a way that not only do national leaders not seem to have today, hardly any do, but the general population doesn't seem to have as well. And that is why we have declined as much as we have, and that is why there is so much spiritual blindness, so much moral blindness, so much cultural confusion in our nation today. And the solution is not political. There are political ramifications to it, but the solution is not political. The solution is spiritual. And the only rescue for our nation must come from above. God Almighty must graciously intervene. He must send His Holy Spirit. He must return this nation to its biblical roots and to its former recognition that Almighty God is the ultimate ruler of this nation, as indeed all nations. And so that's what I pray for, and that's what I work for. Do I ignore politics? Oh, no, not at all. I pay very close attention to them. I cast a principled vote at every election, never miss an election, and encourage other people to do the same. But I realize that at best, getting one person in office instead of another is only a minor stopgap to the decline in America and will not turn the nation around. There's got to be a fundamental change all across the land, from the lowest to the highest, from the poorest to the richest, from the person without any influence in society to those who have great influence in society. There must be a radical change, a recognition of God Almighty and of His Word, a repentance of sin, and a return to God and the Bible, which looks impossible, looks unlikely, if not impossible, but we remember with God, all things are possible. With God, all things are possible. So we can beseech the throne of God Almighty for that to occur. That's the first thing that I wanted to say on this July 4. The second thing I wanted to say was that I often set aside my usual Bible study on national holidays like this with the recognition that so many people are not on the normal schedule, so that people who normally listen to the Beacon broadcast because it fits into their daily routine are doing something different today, so that we often are missing a good part of our regular listeners and have often, in its place, picked up some others who, because of their schedule, would not normally be able to hear it. But I think I will continue on in my normal study. However, I have already taken several minutes to talk about the July 4th celebration of our nation, so I will stop that and devote the remaining minutes of the broadcast to our study in 3 John. Now, quick review. In the beginning of the epistle, which is the shortest epistle, which is the shortest book in the Bible, in the whole Bible, the shortest epistle in the New Testament, and in the beginning, we have the usual salutation or introduction in verses 1 and 2, for sure, and maybe including verses 3 and 4. And in this, the author identifies himself as the elder and identifies the recipient of the epistle as a Christian man named Gaius, and expresses his great joy at the commitment of Gaius to truth and assures Gaius of his prayers, that is, the prayers of the Apostle John, for the prosperity of Gaius in all areas of life, based upon his testimony of obedience to truth. That link needs to be spelled out, needs to be emphasized. And the body, the main body, the one we're moving into today, begins by commending Gaius for his gospel labors and encouraging him to continue as he begun. So here's what we read in 3 John verse 5, Beloved, writing to Gaius, Beloved, you do faithfully whatever you do for the brethren and for strangers who have borne witness of your love before the church, if you send them forward on their journey in a worthy manner of God, or a manner rather worthy of God, you will do well. Now, we have actually touched on these verses previously because we had to bring them forward into earlier verses to complete some thoughts there. But now we look at them more carefully on their own. And we see, first of all, an encouraging commendation addressed to a beloved brother. Beloved, John says, beloved. Beloved used three times in five verses. Gaius was obviously very beloved by the Apostle John. It's used, this is the third time it's used, and then it's used the fourth time in verse 11, and is a term that is frequently used by John in his other writings. You'll find it a lot in the first epistle of John. But it is used in this third epistle of John an unusual number of times, even for John. If you take the shortness of the book, the fewness of the verses, if that's the right language, and count how many times he uses it, he uses it almost once for every two verses, two-point-something verses. Quite astounding. He really loved Gaius, and he expressed it over and over again. And as you recall, he connects his love for Gaius to the love Gaius has for the truth. Those are the things that go together. To the beloved Gaius, the elder to the beloved Gaius, whom I love in truth, verse 1. And that's the theme that runs throughout this epistle. And John has a very strong love for Gaius because of their common love for the truth. That's what drew them together. I know we've talked about this before, but beloved, and I'm using John's term there, but it's a very appropriate one at this point. Beloved, please understand how important that is. We cannot have the highest level of human love for others, love for our fellow mankind, if we ignore truth. We just can't. And I see it all the time, and I'm sure you do as well. I read a devotional article in our local newspaper recently by a clergy person, not a clergyman, a clergy person, whose columns appear in our newspaper about once a month. And she was talking about how unfortunate things are in America. She was talking about some of the same things I was talking about a moment ago and giving some of the things that concern her. And then the remedy was that we've got to start recognizing that every person is a child of God and must treat them accordingly. Wrong. Every person is a human being made in the image of God, and that's a high position, but it's not the same as being a child of God. The Bible makes a very clear distinction. Jesus made a very clear distinction between those who are the children of God on the one hand and those who are the children of the devil on the other hand. Now, how can we overcome the problems we have in our nation, which are the result of sin and of error in our thinking, by propagating falsehoods? In other words, by continuing other errors. You can't combat error with error. You have to combat error with truth. And the only way to have the highest level of human love that's possible and desirable is to base it upon truth. The more people are bound together with a common love for the truth of God's Word, the more they will be bound together with a common love for each other. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you His eternal peace.